continue in a series that we've had for several weeks now, and been looking at the connection between God and you, and between the connection between you and others. And we, you know, this morning I want to talk about passion. What would you do if God had you to change a few things in your life? If you were absolutely sure that you had to change a few things in your life, that maybe your passions had to change, or your priorities had to change, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to make that sacrifice? And then I want to ask you that on the other side of that decision is always a blessing. In the fact that when God asks you to go somewhere you haven't done before, He's going to go with you. When God asks you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, He's going to give you the strength and the ability to do that. And so I want to challenge you this morning as we look about talking about passion. And I understand that for each one of us that could mean something else. But your passion for which that you serve God, taking a look at where you're at, how you're serving God, where God fits in the midst of your busy day, and the passion or compassion that you have for others. We're going to look at Paul's letter of encouragement to a struggling Christian. To a struggling believer, because there's persecution, because he's not sure of what's going on, and it begins to do a turnaround, Paul begins to write a letter to Timothy, and it's a word of encouragement. 2 Timothy, and I believe I made a change in it, so I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 6, and we're going to be going to verse 14. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 14. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Father, I just ask as we go to your word, and as we just look at this literal love letter that an aging apostle Paul writes to a young Timothy, giving words of encouragement, giving strength to a weak warrior. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would do the same for us. I pray that you would give us strength. I pray that you would give us encouragement. I pray that you would give us the words and the power of the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives. I pray that no one leaves here the same as they were when they came in, but strengthened by your word, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and encouraged by the word of God. May you get honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember as a kid, one of my favorite passions, maybe this was you too, one of my first passions was to be a professional baseball player. That was my first passion. That's what I thought about. And back before there was video games that could account for 8 or 10 hours of a person's day, we were in the park. We were in the field. We were joining and knocking on doors, trying to get other kids to be a part of either a baseball game, a football game, a basketball game, or something. We were going to throw some kind of a ball at each other. That was one of my passions, that I thought that I was going to be a professional baseball player. I was going to be the one to hit that winning home run. I was going to be that one to make that diving catch to win the game. And there's a story that's told back in the 70s, which some of you remember and some of you don't. But in the 70s, there's a story that's told of a Little League coach that sat down his whole Little League team and said to them, how many here would like to play professional baseball? And out of that whole Little League team, every hand went up. Every hand went up, desiring that they wanted to play professional baseball. Years later, that same little boy that sat in the 70s Little League team is now a coach of a Little League team. And he remembers and he asks the same question. How many here would like to play professional baseball? Not one single hand went up. Not one single hand went up. And I'm asking you this morning, what changed over the course of 25 or 30 years? Because in my generation, in my time frame, and because I love sports, I couldn't imagine not playing sports. I couldn't imagine. So what changed in 25 or 30 years? And the only thing that I can come up with is this. People have lost their visions. People have lost their visions. People have lost their drive to excel. People have lost determination that they're going to do far more than just survive. Isn't it sad when the dream that you have is only to survive? Only to pay a bill. Only to make it through another day. Only to go to the next level and nothing to drive you into doing something extraordinary. Nothing to drive you into your passions that you have. It's sad. To some kids, the dream is out there. See, for the longest time, the dream is out there and you have a determination that you're going to get it. You have a determination of going after something. And for some, I believe they've allowed the devil to just steal their dream. To steal their passion. And they always settle for second best. Or they settle for something that really is not what they want. And to some, if it is honest, their very dream that they have is so far-fetched now that they can't even see it anymore. They've lost all of that. It seems to me that we're beginning to live in a society and in a generation that if it takes determination, if it takes a little willpower, if it takes having a goal and being focused and going after something, people lose interest in it. People lose interest in it. If it involves any work, if you can't have it right now, if you've got to work your way up to it, because we live in a society now, everybody wants to be the CEO, but they don't want to start at the bottom. Everybody wants the high wages, but they don't want to start and learn how to get to that point. People have dreams, but as soon as there's an obstacle, they're willing to give their dream up. They're willing to set it aside. And my question for you this morning is, how do you renew something like that? How do you grab onto it and get your priorities right? How do you renew your right visions? How do you again restore the passion of what you had? See, I'm convinced that some of you had a passion for God that kept you up at night. You were so excited waiting to see what God was going to do. And somewhere along the line, the devil has stolen that. And you've suddenly got into this mode of just surviving. And there's so much more that God wants. How do you renew that? How do you keep that, you know, how do you keep God in the midst of a busy schedule? How do you keep Him first? How do you keep Him number one? See, I'll say this. When a person has a vision And it doesn't matter what your vision is. When you have a vision, you're determined that nothing is going to take that away from you. And you struggle, and you may have some good days, bad days, disappointing times, but when you have a goal and a vision, you're not going to let anything get in the way with it. You're not going to let the devil steal it. You're not going to let someone talk you out of it. You're going to grab onto that. But when the vision fades, you begin to settle for second best. You begin to take a back seat of what used to be a priority. And that's right where this text grabs us this morning. That's right where we're at. The Apostle Paul tells us right from this text that God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Amen. But that God gives us love and power of the Holy Spirit. And we can have self-discipline. And we can be determined. And we can set a vision. And we can have a goal. And we can have all the things that God wants. And I just got to say this. If God says that He doesn't give us the spirit of fear, who gave it to you? And why do you take it? If you want God to do these amazing things in your life, why would you let fear be a factor? Why would you allow your goal to be stolen? If the Word tells us that God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish more than we can ever imagine, to accomplish the things that He wants done in our lives, to do more than we could ever imagine in our own strength. If God gives us the power to do that, and then He tells us that God gives us the love of God and shows us that He's going to be a part of it, shows us that we can grab onto the promises of God, that we can find comfort in His Word, and that He will lead us and guide us, and that He will help us in the times that we struggle. He will help us to be disciplined. That sounds like somebody that shouldn't fail to me. That sounds like someone that shouldn't be falling, but should be striving and moving forward with the things of God. So what happened in this text? Paul is writing to Timothy. And you got to grab onto this, because Paul is an old man finishing his ministry here. And in a moment I'll share some about that. But Paul is an old man here finishing up his ministry, and he's talking to a younger Timothy. To the next generation, if you will. You know, for all of us that are a little older, we're mentoring, we're trying to pass this torch, understanding that you know, the things of God have to move forward. You got to understand that Paul is in chains here. It's not the first time. Paul is in chains for preaching the gospel. He's in chains because he proclaims the love of God, and he's being persecuted for it. And Paul knows his time is short. All of these things factored together. He understands that this torch has to be passed. He understands that where the church had exploded, now they begin to see, and there's a little bit of crisis mode here. And if you look at Acts chapter 2, I loved Acts chapter 2. The church explodes with the power of God working. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. Things are happening. You just... We're walking by some of them apostles, and the anointing of God would fall on you, and people were crying out. Prophecies were being made. All of these things are happening. And then all of a sudden, just like in our lives, you go from a power of God working in your life, and you can't get enough of God, and you're striving, to suddenly surviving. And here's where the church is at. And when we pick it up, this letter here is that they're struggling. It's not cool anymore to be a part of the church. It's not so safe to be a part of the church, because now there's some persecution going on. And if you look at the history of this, not long after Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy, he was beheaded by Emperor Nero. So he knew his time was short. He's passing it on. He's giving all this information that he can. But here's the amazing thing. That right during this, Paul's beheaded by Emperor Nero. And
Emperor Nero burned down Rome. He destroyed Rome. And he blamed the Christians. Does that sound familiar today?
The country is burning, but it's the Christians' fault. Paul knows what's going on. So what's happening here? What needs to happen? Verse 16 tells us, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God, which is in through the laying on of my hands." What happened? The flame, the passion has died down. What needs to happen? The flame and the passion needs to be stirred up. Amen. Get this, somewhere between discouragement, somewhere between bad health, somewhere between bad breaks, somewhere between ugly and mean people, somewhere between people letting us down, the flame has gone up. But God says what? You need to stir this up. Amen. You need to stir this up. Your flame has, and your passion has lent down, and you need to allow me to stir this up. That's why Paul goes to Timothy. He says, you need to fan this flame and stir within you that vision that God gave you. I want you to know something this morning. That's what each one of us needs to happen today. Each and every one of us. God says He's not a respecter of person. He wants it to happen to each and every one of us. New hope. A restored vision. Increased passion. And I want you to know that's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today too. The Church Universal needs to come back to the passion that we had for Christ. And stop wanting. You see, it's not about more programs. I'm all about programs. We got things going on for the life of the church, and ministries go out of here almost every day. But it's not about more programs. It's about relationship. It's about finding Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus daily. It's about the passion that we used to have for God. And now we've allowed sometimes programs to get in front of it. Sometimes we allow work and different things to get in front of it. But we need to restore the passion that we had for Christ. That's what the Church of Christ needs today. That's what we need in each and every one of our lives. He wants the message of Christ to go on after He's gone. How many would say amen? We want the message of Christ to go on long after we're gone. It's not a survival mode. When I'm gone, I want somebody to remember me. I want somebody to remember that I love Jesus Christ. If they don't remember anything else, remember that guy loved Jesus Christ. That's what we want. That's what we want to pass on. He wants us to make sure that that torch is passed successfully. Anybody that knows any kind of a group passing a baton, the very moment that you pass the baton is the most critical time. And it, when the baton is dropped, that's the end of it. You're out. So you have to make a clean handoff. You've got to make it successful. Each one of us wants to pass that on successfully. Each one of us wants to make sure that some Timothy that we're mentoring understands what needs to happen and equip that person for everything that they need to do. See, I think it's funny. Years ago, Russian scientists, now get this, Russian scientists could not get a pen to work by gravity. Meaning, they got all beside themselves that if they turned the pen this way, it wouldn't work. Or if they turned it this way, it wouldn't work. And they spent $1.5 million to come up with a pen that at whatever angle it needed to be at, it would give aid. Now guess what the poor, impoverished Russians at the time did? They used a pencil. $1.5 million. They said, we don't want no part of it. We'll use a pencil. Money wasted. Time wasted. All the things that you know, I think God is telling us, keep it simple. Amen. Keep it simple. Use a pencil. Paul's telling him that when we're discouraged, when we've lost our vision, when we're no longer passionate for the things that we should be passionate for, those things that once meant everything,
that we've got to fan that flame. Get yourself in a position to fan that flame. And let God get it going again. But here's what I want you to notice. This is good stuff. Flame the gift of God which is in you. Did you get that? You don't have to resurrect it. You don't have to make it happen. And you don't have to even bring the wood. God says, allow me to fan what is in you. Meaning that as a child of God, let me fan what's already going on. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. At the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is in you. Allow me to fan that flame and allow that to go in a way that you've never seen it happen before. Allow me to stir that up so that you can do far above what you've even imagined. And God can do some tremendous things. Somebody ought to say amen there. Listen. Renew your vision. Renew your passion. Allow God to fan that flame and renew the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Again, somebody else should have said amen. A clergyman was walking down and sitting in a dining car, traveling along the Hudson River. Opposite him was an atheist who was sitting there and sees his clerical collar and starts a discussion. He says, I see you're a clergyman. Guy's probably thinking, yeah, brilliant. But he says, yes. He says, I'm a minister of the gospel. The atheist looks at him and he says, I suppose you believe in the Bible. And he says, yes, I certainly do. I believe that every word of the Bible is the word of God. And there's a moment, and this atheist is looking at him, and he says, but aren't there things in the Bible that you don't understand? Aren't there things in the Bible that you can't explain? And with humility, this minister answers him, and he says, yes. There's places in the Bible that are too hard for me to understand. And with this air of triumph, this atheist goes, well, what are you going to do about it? And he's sitting in this train car, eating his supper. He's on the Hudson, eating Hudson Chad. And Chad fish are those little bony fish. If you ever had Chad, it's a bony fish. You can eat them, but there's a lot of bones, and you got to be careful. And some are bigger than you want to chew. So he says it's just like me eating this Chad fish. It's tasty, but there's bones. And he looking up, he says, sir, just the same as when I'm eating this fish, when I come to the bones, I put them to the side of the plate and go on enjoying the meal. Then he says something profound. He says, I leave the bones for someone else to choke on. Now stop and think about that for a moment. At first you go, ooh, that doesn't sound right. But listen, if you think you understand everything about the Bible, then you're mistaken, because that means that the Holy Spirit is done working in your life, which I rather doubt. And I don't care if you're a preacher or a four-year graduate of the Bible or not. But it's profound when you stop and you think, look, I'm not going to get hung up on the fact that I don't know everything about the Bible. I'm going to enjoy my meal, and on the bones that I can't swallow, I'm going to put them on the side of my plate, and I'm going to let somebody else choke on those. Because I'm going to grab onto what I do understand. I'm going to grab onto the things that I know that God is speaking. I'm going to let somebody else do that, and I'm going to concentrate on what's right. I'm going to concentrate on what God's showing me, and I'm going to concentrate on what God desires to do in me. See, I think inside of each one of us that we believe that God wants our church and our people to be passionate to God's purposes. Yes. And to believe Him for the impossible. I believe that's in every single one of us. Yes. If it's not, I pray that it would be. that you would desire for God to do something amazing in the life of the church, in our leaders, in our, all of our departments, in the people that come and call Rosedale home. I believe that we all want that passion in God to do these things. And I believe that there inside of each and every one of us is a desire to reach the unchurched with the message of Christ without compromise. And realizing that maybe we have to use a different language to reach people, but uncompromising message to show the unchurched the love of God. I believe that's in there. But God has to stir that up. God has to do more than just the leaders. God has to do more than just the pastors running and spreading that. God has to do something amazing in each one of our lives to fan the flame that is within us to go out. And reach and touch lives. Allowing God to stir. Allowing God to concentrate on each one of our relationships with Jesus Christ. And God wants to say to some of us this morning, stop trying to do it in your own strength.
Amen.
Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Your flame is going out because you're trying to do it in your own strength. Stay in the Word of God. I believe this is a word for some this morning. Stay in the Word of God. Read it for yourself. You can't live by 1 hour of me bringing a message every week. Keep your passion. Ask God to make sure that your passion lines up with the will for your life. Stand on the promises that you know that God has shared. Preach the Word. Live the Word. And share the Word. Amen. That's what God would tell us this morning. And that's what He says to Timothy. And you could put your name there. He could say, Timothy, and put your name there. Don't be intimidated by people in and out of the church. Stop feeling inadequate and let God do something amazing in your life. Today. Right now. He would say to us, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. That's what he would say to us this morning. Allowing us to know. And then he'd say, Timothy, put your name in there. You are a child of God. Amen. And being a child of God, if God is for you, and God is in you, and God is with you, you can't lose, Timothy. You can't lose, Timothy. We lose our compassion and we lose our vision and we've lost the ability to do great things for God because we're trying to do it in our strength.
Yes. God helps.
If you haven't figured it out yet, God does not use the strongest. God does not use the smartest. But He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because He's going to get honor and glory for it. I'm learning more every day. God's not only using large churches. He is using all churches that will trust Him to do far more than they can do in their own. And He says, rekindle that spiritual gift inside of you. Rekindle that spiritual gift that's inside of you. I got news for you this morning. God was kindling before kindling was cool. Rekindle what God wants going on in your life. It says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I say to you this morning as we close is don't hide your light. Let it shine. Allow God to use you. Don't live in fear. Let the Holy Spirit move and go front and first empower your life. And remember this, you didn't start the flame. Did you get that? You didn't start the flame. God did. So let God stir it up within you. What's He saying? He's saying, serve the Lord now. He's saying, get involved now. God's not looking for bench warmers. And He's not looking for pew sitters. And I got to say this too. Stop asking God for more faith. Use the faith that He's already given you. Did you get that? So many people were going out, God, just give me more faith. No, how about using the faith that I've already given you? And you'll find out that will stretch your faith. That will move you into a new direction. That will allow you to go out of your comfort zone. So don't ask God for more faith unless you're willing to use the faith that He's already given you. Make this your prayer. Turn loose, God, the power within me.
Amen.
Turn loose, God, the power that was within me. Show me how to do and act what you want for me. How about God raising up some that aren't intimidated by this world? Verse 12, I am not ashamed because I know whom I believed. And I am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him for that day. My question, what day? How about today? How about not making it something that's all one day in the future? How about today? How about today being that day? How about grabbing on that if you can teach, teach. How about if you can help, help. How about if you can build, build. How about if you can lead someone, and become a part of it? It's not about over there, another day, next year, when the time is right, when I do this and when I get this. How about right now?
Yes.
How about today?
Yes.
Respond to what God is saying to you this morning.
Praise God.
Yes. A soldier can get all the training that he or she ever needs. But I got news for you. A soldier is not a soldier until they're in a battle. Until they're in the front lines. They don't know what they're going to do. They may be trained for it. Until the bullets are flying, they don't know what's going on. And this morning I want to ask you, where's your loyalty? God has given each one of us who professes Christ the power of the Holy Spirit within us.
Thank you,
we can do amazing things.
Yes.
Stir it up. No more half-hearted commitments. Do not despair or lose hope. I realize we live in some tough times, but we also live in some great times.
Amen.
And we're seeing amazing things. And don't concentrate on the negatives. Move forward and live your life in the positives of what God has for you.